It depends on you, because you have accumulation to do such thing too. Yeah, and it's all right, so you appreciate that. But for Khun Betty's situation, I think that the subject is talking about samatha, right? When you raise this situation.
Yeah.
So I think that is very important too, because we keep on talking about good things like developing samatha. But when time comes, or when situation is there, what about thinking about what samatha is, at what moment should it develop? So I think that when we understand better and better about the value or the advantages of kusala like Brahma Vihara, we'll know that it's so useful in daily life. We cannot expect to have satipatthana at any time, because it depends on conditions. Even samatha, we cannot expect it. But if we can understand that it's a level of kusala, because it's not dana and it's not only sila, but it's the development of kusala citta, calmness. Otherwise, why do we talk about just story about kusala, the advantages of kusala, but not having it? See? So I think that at that moment it can be karuna or metta, if one can, or when one knows that what's the use of. They don't know, they don't understand anything. No matter how much we try to explain, it's useless, because they cannot understand. Yeah.
No.
They don't want to hear either.
I mean, like one factor you can take out is trying to convince them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I've learned already. I can't say anything to them.
Then wouldn't it be that more understanding about moments, realities would be
it's better, but since we cannot have satipatthana all the time or all day, what about other kusala too?
And if you say something, oh, but this insight, it sounds like an excuse or something.
Right, exactly.
Oh, you said that you should have metta or not to accept person. So I can understand metta, but how can you...
They don't know. They don't understand.
Know.
Yeah.
Like
in another sense, they are very poor because they do not have the factors of Eightfold Path.
But how can she have metta and karuna? That it doesn't exist. This is important. This is a practical thing, something practical. She's in that situation. Betty wouldn't be bringing this up if it was easy for her to bring up metta and karuna like that, because she knows that. She knows the value of metta and karuna. So
To have metta at that moment.
So what would you say to Betty in order for her to be able to have more metta and karuna at those moments?
This is the development of metta in reality, not just reciting.
So remembering at that time the value of metta and the circumstances. Is that right?
Conditions for it.
Well, the problem is the conditions of the condition arise. It doesn't always arise. Sometimes it will arise, or it will arise later when I think, or it doesn't arise on command like you want it to arise.
But appreciating that it is the time for metta, not India or the special place, but at that time, so even when one hears harsh words, that's
so it's remembering, it's recollecting. It's recollecting at that time. In other words, some thinking goes into this. Recollecting is the value of metta.
And panya is there when one knows that people have different accumulations.
Yeah. I think it also shows the lack of self, that it can't just choose to not be angry or something like that.
This is all to be understood. The discussion, the thinking about it beforehand may bring up the conditions later on, but there's no guarantees. Like when we say, oh, well, if you think about it, if you think... Well, at that moment, we all know very well that who thinks about anything other than choking the person. You know? But this is all part of that, maybe the conditions arising.
Especially when it's a repetitive experience for her. She has the opportunity to actually consider skillful ways of dealing with that particular
problem. I think just understanding what the real problem is helps a lot, because when one thinks the problem is the husband and the husband's harsh words, or being at the party, or if one thinks that the problem is one's karma, then one's not really getting to the root of what the real problem is.
But even if you explain that to other people, like I'll say to my husband, different people have different accumulations. So my accumulation is, I'm volatile, okay?
I think better just to accept the fact that that's the way it is for now.
Yeah, I'll try to explain this to him.
I don't think the problem of what the other people are doing is, that's not the problem, it's really about...
Right.
Just accepting the fact that the way you react is the way you react. Until you react differently.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, I can understand that. And that thought arises very often. That's just the way it is.
Yes, right.
But at the same time, I guess I want
them to think that you're improving.
Right.
It's not important. Yeah. It's not important whether they think you're improving or not.
Right, that's
what's
true.
Important is your understanding.
It's helpful, but it doesn't matter.
And the understanding that dosa is opposite of metta helps too, because at that moment there is dosa, and you remember or it reminds by right understanding that it's opposite of metta.
It's an explanation that you can give at the time. Your understanding is that it's all about development of insight, not just samatha.
Right.
Whether that is meaningful to the other people or not, I don't know. But at least it's your understanding, and you don't have to feel diffident about coming out with that.
They might think that Betty's opinion is wrong.
Yes.
I listened to a tape. You referred to a sutta, which I couldn't find, about how one can only know someone's sila by living with them for a long time, their concentration when they're in danger, and their understanding by really questioning and asking a lot. Is there anything else you'd like to add, and do you know where it comes from?
If you see someone just for the first or second time, can you know about his or her sila?
No.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be with that person for a time, and have to be the wise person too in order to really know whether that person has sila or not. The same as concentration or samadhi, it depends on when once it's in danger, the reaction of person can tell us how much the understanding or the firmness of concentration or kusala is there. And for panya, it's impossible just to see or look at someone and know how much that person understands.
Or just to meet briefly, or just to really question a lot. Mm-hmm. Because often people talk about, going to meet one teacher or a master and being able to tell from the appearance how calm they are. But one can't tell just from the appearance or how one behaves. I'm talking about the vasana in arahats. So we know that even in arahats, apart from the Buddha, the accumulations will still show or manifest. So one may still have a grumpy sounding voice or speak with a stammer or whatever else. When we refer to these vasana or accumulations of the citta which manifest in the rupas, what exactly are they in terms of Paramatta Dharmas?
Just the accumulation of citta which conditions such and such movement.
Rupa. But when we talk about it's the accumulation of the cheetahs, but we're only talking about kiriya cheetahs, no akusala. So what exactly is accumulated in the cheetah?
The acquaintance of what one used to behave.
The way one used to behave.
The habit.
Mm-hmm. Right. So just the habit is accumulated. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to understand when they're only kiriya cheetahs, these particular habitual cheetahs. For example, which produced a grumpy sounding voice or something like this.
Dhamma is the condition. It's conditioned by Dhamma for the voice.
Is there any genetic factor? My mother has a loud voice. I have a loud voice. My son has a loud voice. So it can't be just Dhamma.
Each own with each Dhamma. You cannot exchange your Dhamma with the others.
No, I'm wondering if there's any.
Each has one's own karma.
So is there a tendency for people who are born into the same family to have accumulated similar karma in the past?
Karma works its way unexpectedly to be born in such and such family, but never the same.
I have a question arising out of some things we were chatting about yesterday. We're talking about the shortness of life or how it could end at any time, our life, and we don't know how long we have remaining. Is that an aspect of marana sati?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
So marana sati is, when we say reflection on death, it's on the fragility of one's own life. Is that right? It's the same thing.
Whatever brings about kusala, which can condition kusala.
If people have an idea that they should or it's good to practice marana sati or develop a skill in marana sati, what would you say?
And what is the result?
Well, in other words, to kind of consciously reflect on...
The result is?
The result is supposed to be more calm.
Oh, and attachment?
Attachment.
Oh, no attachment at all.
Well, you couldn't become attached to death anyway, could you?
After that.
But attached to that particular kind of reflection.
Selection.
Selection again. So even if we're talking about samatha, when there's kind of selection of an object like Buddha or death,
it's different from satipatthana, quite different. It's just temporarily calm.
But attachment must be there if there is selection of that object.
As long as there is no right understanding, anything can be object of attachment. What about just live to die, eat to die, work to die, think to die, every moment is to die, just that, see? And actually, the momentary death is the arising and falling away of reality right now, not different from the last moment of life at all, just gone, never come back. The visible object which is seen has fallen away, but the thinking keeps on remembering all those people and things after seeing, and just to die.
Just to lose it all.
And this can be maranasati. So no need, no rule to think about maranasati this way or that way. It depends on one's understanding. Because after thinking like this, the citta is kusla or akusla.
Why afterwards, why not before?
At that moment, it depends.
Or even before,
because
the intention to reflect.
No one can tell the other's citta when someone thinks about that, whether it's kusla or akusla. Okay, then I'll have good time instead of thinking too much about it. And some people might have other different levels of kusla.
Yes, I know for myself, if I think, okay, now it would be a good time to reflect on the Buddha or on death or something, attachment is there immediately because of when there is an idea of having a particular object. So I would say before, even when one has that intention or idea to reflect in a certain way, because it's different from when one just happens to reflect naturally.
But the best worship object of offering to Buddha is satipatthana. So we don't have to think of, oh, I shall offer this or that, or I better think about his virtues. But the moment of understanding reality is the best offerings, best thing of worshipping.
Can we say that at this moment, if we are thinking of the Buddha and his qualities, it is better to have satipatthana above?
Or at this moment of trying to understand what he really taught.
Right, but better still to know the citta at that point for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Understanding reality, because he taught anyone who went to see him to understand reality, not just to stick to the word without any understanding.
And that would be paying more respect, higher respect.
Higher respect.
You gave an example when we were in India, which has been quoted since, about how someone had a stroke and there was no cure, and then she had confidence in the Dharma and made a complete recovery, and it sounded like a miracle. Actually, Nina mentioned this example you gave. It made it sound as though you were suggesting that it was because of the confidence in Dharma that she totally recovered from her health problems, whereas in fact we don't know all the causes and conditions.
My point is that even so, at that time she still have confidence.
That's what I thought, yeah. Mm-hmm. So even at such a time when one is sick, then
and
the confidence,
who knows what
it doesn't mean that because one has confidence, one will recover. So many things.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other point is that when one does have confidence at that time, nothing else is a problem.
No expectation because of the understanding of the anatta-ness of all realities.
Just getting back to the maranasati, for me, sometimes thinking about the inevitability of death and so forth can bring a very comforting kind of feeling. So that's likely to be attachment rather than kusala.
Yeah. The purpose of teaching this is to have awareness instantly.
Hmm.
But it depends on the individual's understanding too.
Hmm.
Because talking about marana, death, and kusala citta arises. But what about this moment?
What about this moment?
Having awareness or no awareness? The most important thing.
And that this moment is death also, right?
But this is only thinking about it, not the direct experiencing of the arising and falling away yet.
So what is this moment in terms of direct experiencing?
Understanding reality which is now appearing. Instead of thinking of satipatthana as the itself, what about the understanding? Because whenever there is the understanding of a characteristic right now, it is satipatthana, even we don't call it or name it.
So there seems to be a very subtle difference between the theoretical understanding of satipatthana and the actual development of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite different, isn't it?
Not so subtle, no. Extremely.
No, I think you could say it's subtle.
Why do you say subtle?
All right, when you talk about the intention to have it, it's not the real satipatthana. So the real satipatthana is conditioned. And once one knows that it's conditioned, one does not expect for its arising at all. So this is the meaning of subtlety.
And pariyatti, patipatti, there's no necessarily clear dividing line.
But there is a clear dividing line when there's the arising of sati. But maybe in the beginning it's not so clear.
I think that there can be some expectation that it should be like this or that when satipatthana arises. But actually it's so natural. It's like anything which is now appearing, because we can see the difference between moment when sati does not arise. It's ordinary touching, it's ordinary seeing, it's ordinary hearing, it's ordinary thinking. But when sati arises, it just arises like usual, instead of thinking in terms of concept. But it attends to the characteristic of a reality, very naturally. Because the object is not different at all from the other sense door or mind door, but sati is there. And the characteristic, one realizes that, is that what we have heard about. It is aware, just aware. And there is a characteristic, the same usual reality is there, and sati just follow. So when we think of like, I will stand up, or I will chew something, that is thinking of next moment, getting over across the present reality which is now appearing. So the right one is the attention to reality which has arisen, so it's now appearing. Never go further than that. So one knows that it is satipatthana, because right understanding begins to understand a characteristic which is now appearing naturally. And this is the only way to decrease or not being enslaved by lopa, little by little. Because one cannot see how much one is enslaved.
I've heard you say to not go away from this present object. That's sati. So most of the time we're always going away from the
No sati.
So we're always going away. We're in the future, in the past.
But I'm thinking I'll do this or I'll do that.
Yes, yeah. All the time. So sati is not going away from the present object.
Not being forgetful about the
present. Not being forgetful.
That's
not
the wording.
Floating. Of,
yeah.
Right understanding is the understanding of a reality right now.
And what hinders that development? What hinders that sati arising?
Avijja, ignorance, and craving, pity, for other objects.
But could we say the desire to have sati is also a hindrance?
Certainly. Instead of being aware, or awareness is aware, it's I who want it. This is the only way to decrease attachment, no other way. Because lopa is teachers and followers.
One can be reborn in Nirupa Brahma plane, but actually never escape attachment, however many eons.
So I think there's one of those small suttas in the Samyutta Nikaya where the Buddha talked about
what is it called, One Wonderful Night or something, one moment of sati is far better than all those eons in Rupa Brahma.